Thank you. It is such a privilege. Pastor Joe, could you get a real strong guy and move this pulpit back? Just scoot it back. Such a joy and a privilege to be with you. I'm honored. He's strong enough by himself. I mean, I thought there would be like 10 men volunteer, like he needs me, you know. But it's such an honor to be here. This morning, we joined our culture crying out, somebody save me. And how many of you had your heart stirred just a little bit to reach our world for the Lord? Anybody? Did anybody get stirred a little bit? Well, tonight we're going to give you instructions on how to seal the deal and how to get them in the ice chest. Is that okay? Let's be fishers of men. But before I go and say anything else, I just want to say this. Pastor Joe, I know you had a memorial for your mother's homegoing just yesterday. I just want to tell you, if you were my son, I would be thrilled. I would consider my success. This is what success is in my book, raising godly offspring. And I don't know your mother, but she raised one godly young man. And that's a great woman of God. Give the Lord a hand for all the tutorage of your life. And we're just a vapor. Now, I want to make sure all the young ladies, all teenage girls get a free book. I had one gentleman said, I want to pay for all the teenage girls' book, and maybe somebody else wants to help that guy not have to do all that. But I brought 29 books. I gave one to the lady at Cracker Barrel in Jonesboro. She got one for her daughter. So we're going to go 29 minus how many books are there, and that's how many teenage girls we've blessed with this book. Isn't that awesome? And I'd like to walk away with no books because we had 29 teenage girls get that study on how to recognize a creep and not go through divorce and have your life messed up. Can you say, I mean, just get the right guy the first time. You know, some of us, we have to go more than once to find the right person. But thank God, I believe God can lead these young ladies to the right guy the first time. Amen. Wouldn't that be great? Okay. We're all pulling for you girls. Okay. But the guys, if you're here, I want all young men, if you give a rip about this. The guys asked me on the parking lot tonight after the altar service, I'm going to teach them some college-level coaching on how to catch a football, the physics of catching a football. And if you want to get picked third at recess, join me after the altar service. I'm going to teach you how to make touchdowns at recess. You're going to go from getting picked last to pick first, man. And that's where influence goes. Tomorrow night, you may be tired. I want you to come. How many of you recognize that in 5 years, the world's going to be a lot different than it is right now with AI on the verge? So this is what I want to do. I want to go ahead and preach the brand new sermon God just gave me this week on what it means to be a human being, because technology is going to be taking over, and I want to preach a sermon. It's right out of the Word of God, what God wants you to hold on to as a human being. So get out here, and we'll get into it. But I want us to go into the Word right now. Are y'all ready just to get some tools to maybe reach somebody for the Lord Jesus? Is that interesting to you? Okay. Father, in the name of the Lord, I thank you for Philemon 1 and 6 in the NIV 1995 version where you said, I pray that you would get active in sharing your faith. Because if you would start getting active in sharing your faith, you would have full understanding of all that you have in Christ Jesus. It's when we get busy reaching the lost, then the joy of the Lord and everything you have for us opens up to us. Bless this church, Lord. The way they have compassion for the needy in this community is overwhelming. Lord, let many souls be saved in weeks to come as a result of this 35 minutes in your word, in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, glory to God. I want to ask you a question. What do you need to do to leverage, everybody say leverage, the goodness of God in your life to the greatest possible eternal good? The word leverage is linked to the word lever. A lever is a simple machine that allows you to lift something with its help that you could never lift without it. How do you leverage? How do you lift God's goodness on your life to a place of influence greater than you could ever do on your own? Tonight, I want to teach you the power of the chains of influence that God wants to use in your life. In 52 AD, Paul was taking the gospel to Asia. Acts chapter 16. Some of you remember this. And if he would have gone to Asia, America and Europe and the Western Hemisphere would not look anything like the world we've known. We would look like the pagan, godless religions in the East. But something happened. In Acts chapter 16, Paul saw a vision of a man in Europe, Macedonia, crying, "Somebody save me." And Paul turned from going to Asia and turned toward Europe. And when he got there, God began to use him in a very influential way. Now, I want you to hear what I'm saying. Lean in right now. Because when Paul got there, he was influential to three different kinds of people. Right now, I'm going to rebuke it in the name of Jesus, that you have this little bitty view of who you can influence. Paul walked into Philippi, and the first group of people that he influenced was demonized teenagers. Now, we got a lot of those around here. But not only did he influence demonized teenagers, and we're here to love them and help them, but he also was there for a blue-collar, hard-working guy that ran the jail, the Philippian jailer, Acts chapter 16. He wasn't nervous talking to teenagers and young people that had demons all over them. He wasn't nervous talking to the guy that was running the jail, the common old Joe, but he was also not nervous to be influential to the richest woman in town, Lydia, who was a dealer in purple. Now, you may feel like, I'm comfortable with teenagers, I'm comfortable with the common Joe, I'm comfortable with rich people. I want to tell you, but you're not uncomfortable with two others. In the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit's going to release you tonight so that you with confidence can influence demonized teenagers, blue-collar workers, and the most affluent people in the county with the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are going to be comfortable in those circles wherever you are because God's the one that's put you there. Watch out if you wake up and you say, well, this is not exactly my type of folks, but you're there anyway, supernaturally by the power of God because God wants you to influence them. Now, I want to show you a verse that's mind-boggling to me. Paul was in under house arrest, but in Philippians 4:22, we're studying Philippians right now. I want you to see this mind-boggling verse. I want you to see this. He's under house arrest, but look what he says here. Now, he's sitting in prison under house arrest, but look what he says. All God's people here send you greetings, especially whom? Do you understand what he's saying there? I'm sitting under house arrest. I'm writing the book of Philippians, but people from Trump's White House say hello. Caesar's household wants y'all to know, hallelujah, God's good. Now, are you getting this? I'm going to say it again. I don't need to repeat myself. I just want to make sure you get this. He's under house arrest. He can't go anywhere. But somehow the influence that he has gone from being under arrest, can't go anywhere, to reaching people in the most impressive, influential residence in all the world. Caesar's household. Now, I don't know if it's cleaning crew. I don't know if it was his extended family. I don't know if it was the emperor's son or whatever. But somehow that influence got, how did that happen? It happened through chains of influence. And there's three links that I want to show you. And I'm going to give you three links to leverage or use a lever to go wherever you are to places you can't imagine with the gospel and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to tell you, how do you get there? That's the question. How do you get to that place? You know, there was a study by a university that said if you had an important message to give to Donald Trump, how many set of hands do you think you would have to go through to you to get to someone who would personally hand him that message? How many? You know. He's well studied. Three. I say two because I know a guy that's one of his right-hand assistants. So if you gave it to me, I'd give it to him. And so he's just two hands. So what I want you to see the power of your influence and understand it. Now, God has put a GPS on you to get you to the places of influence that you can't imagine. And Paul had them on him, and he didn't appreciate them in first, and maybe you don't appreciate them on you. I want to show you. In Acts chapter 21 was the first time he ever got introduced to this GPS system. It was chains wrapped around his hands when he got arrested. They put chains around him in Acts chapter 21. Then over there in Acts chapter 26, after he appealed to Caesar, they sent him to prison. And it was there 2 years in another Caesarea. We said Caesarea Philippi today. Where was that godless temple we talked about this morning? Well, there's that Caesarea Philippi, but this is Caesarea by the sea. And I want you to know what it's like. They put Paul in prison. He could look. I've been at this place. You can look out your window, and it's like a NASCAR track out there. It's like a oval Olympic track or chariot track. So he's looking out there, but he's in prison for 2 years. But right out the prison, about as far as it is to the gym, you go in, and it was a ballroom where royalty would have meetings. In Acts 26, they bring Paul wrapped up with this GPS system wrapped around him. You have the same GPS system. Look at your wrist right now. You don't have chains, but I want to tell you what your GPS system is that leads you to how you're going to influence people. It's whatever is connected to you that you can't get rid of. Whatever has got you tied to something that you just can't drop down and walk away from. That is your GPS system of influence that's going to take you to places you can't ever imagine. And so they bring Paul up in Acts 26, and he's draped in these chains, guys, and he's a man of God. And King Agrippa says, Paul, and Paul's just sharing Jesus and on fire for God and got the joy of the Lord. And King Agrippa says, Paul, do you think so quickly you can convince me to be a Christian? That's a powerful line. You know what Paul says? Help me out. You know what he says? Help me out, Chris. What does he say? He says, hey, quick or not, but not only you. You know what I wish? I wish I could not only reach you for Jesus, but I wish everybody in this whole courtroom was just like I, full of the Lord, saved, living for the Lord, walking in the Spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost. I wish all of you in this whole room of nobility was just like me, except for these chains. So at first, what he was tied to that he couldn't get away from, it was a negative. He didn't know what was going on, but if we go back in the back of Acts, we get back to Acts chapter 26. You know what we find? We find, look at this, 28:16. Look at when they get him to Rome. Boy, those are the two verses I wanted you to see. Look what they do to him. They put him under a house for 2 years. Hang with me, it's about to get good. They put him under house arrest, and what do? They put a guard by his side. Because he's such a dangerous preacher. And then look what happens. What happens? For 2 years, he's under arrest. He is in that house by a Roman guard. And he's free to teach the Word of God and share the Word of God and minister the Word of God. And look what happens. God began, I need a chair that's not hooked up to an amp. They put Paul in here. Come on up here, Joe, while you're here. And they put him in this right here. They put him under house arrest. And they put him in chains. Just one. And they connect him to a chain that we have historic record. We know how long it was. 15 foot. In the Greek, it's called a halous. It was a 15-foot chain that they put him under house arrest in this house that we're looking at in Rome. David, I want you to come help me out. I know this isn't rehearsed, but your name is not David now. No, your name is Brutus. All right. And they put him hooked up to a Roman soldier who guarded him, who was 15 feet in this house to him, Paul, for how many years? Now, let me tell you, Brutus, who got this job? Remember, we're trying to figure out, when Paul's writing the book of Philippians, he says, members of Caesar's household send you greetings. How does he have influence from being in this house all the way to the White House, speaking our language? This guy over here, these guys were shift work, military, semi-retired leaders, members of the Praetorian Guard. Who are those guys? These are war heroes that got paid three times more than the other Roman legionaries. They would work a shift, they'd go home, another Praetorian Guard would come. They were the kingmakers. Listen to this. The might of the military soldiers were so strong, the Roman Senate would not pick another emperor without checking with the bad boys. Because the bad boys had the sword, and they got the emperor that you guys wanted. Now, you were 8 to 12 years from retirement, and your job was to take care of him on a shift. But you know where you went the next time? You were also a member of the secret service of the emperor. Are you getting what's going on here? You're 15 feet from Paul, 8 hours a day. You're a military leader. Tomorrow you're going to go protect Caesar. And somehow, what's going on here between this chain is so influential. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is streaming through this chain over to this soldier, so that when he gets to the emperor's house, he begins to lead some of those emperor household and family to the Lord. I want to tell you, the things that you're connected to that you can't get away from, watch out. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. You hadn't even entered your mind how God is going to connect you with people that you don't even know that's going to get the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to places beyond your reach. Well, let me tell you who these people are in your life. You're not hooked up to a Roman soldier, but you have people in your life, and I want you to know who these people are, because they're going to come into play. These are people 15 feet away. That's important. What does this mean? It means this is people who are close to you, but far from God. Who are the people in your life who are close to you but far from God? Because what's going to happen is God's going to set you on fire like Paul sitting in that house arrest. And those guys, and God's going to start adding more people that are close to you and far from God. In fact, you're going to have to start writing them down. I got so many people in my life that I'm getting close to this one. But they're so far from God. They're so close, far from God. But what's going to happen? God's going to work in His grace, and something's going to go through this chain of relationship connection. And these people that are close to you and far from God are soon going to be close to you and close to God, because His Holy Spirit is going to use you, hallelujah, to be an influence for their glory, for His glory and praise. Are you in? Getting the word a little bit. So I want to show you how this worked. Y'all see what's going on here. So here's the three links. The first link that you got to have is you've got to have well-developed partnerships for this man to be influenced. He's got a job to do. He's bad news. He's far from God, but he's close to you. But what's going to happen is when you have, listen to this, well-developed Christian partnerships, that sets up what God's about to do. You got to have a gospel partner. Who is your gospel partner? If you can't name it, that's why you're not winning as many people to the Lord as you would like to. You can't make somebody be your gospel partner. There's got to be somebody you love hanging with. You got somebody you love hanging with? Anybody got anybody you love hanging with? Am I just a weirdo up here all by myself? I like hanging with you guys. If it wasn't for church, I'd be out throwing a football in the parking lot with you right now. But God wants to give you partners. And notice what the scripture, see if you look at the scripture and see if you can find the word partner in this next verse. Everybody look at this. In all my prayers, now Paul writes this from prison. Read it with me. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of what? Paul had partners that would come to him when he was under house arrest. Let's see if there's anything else that can happen here. From the first day until now, and this is one of our favorite verses in the Bible, and I'm confident of this very thing. Oh, this is shouting ground. That he who hath begun a work in you will complete it until the day of the Lord Jesus. Here's who you need to be a partner with. Someone that can help you get started, he who begun, and someone who will stick with you till you can get it completed, will complete it. When Paul wrote this verse, he was thinking about a pagan sacrifice that started with those two words, began and complete. The word began was in this ancient ritual. It comes from the word he used, where they would get a torch, and they would light this torch. You know who you need to partner with? You need to partner someone that gets you fired up for Jesus. You need a torch. You need a flame. You need some fire in your bones. I need fire in my bones. And God brings certain people in your life that when you get around them, they just fire you up for the Lord. They just fire you up for the cause. They put drive in you to excel and do something, achieve, and go further than you've ever dreamed. Hear who you need to partner with. Somebody that brings some fire to the occasion. But the last word, complete, was they would take seeds and they would throw the seed around those pagan altars and they'd rub dirt over. You start with a fire, but here's who you need to stay with. Someone that will cultivate the seeds planted in your life and help you grow and help you produce and help you mature. This is who you partner with. And I want to tell you, the breadth of your influence is predicated on the quality of the partners you choose to do life with. If you don't partner with anybody filled with Jesus, filled with the Holy Ghost, you will not go very far influencing the world for Christ. But if you'll find a youth pastor like you got on fire and you'll partner with him to reach teenagers around here, I want to tell you, y'all can cultivate that seed and we can go from 72 back there on Wednesday night, hallelujah, to 100 for God's glory and God's praise because we got the fire of the Holy Ghost in our bones. Somebody get happy with me tonight. Your level of influence is predicated on who you partner with. That's why we partner with brothers and sisters in the Lord right now. But here's how this is going to get good right now. Do y'all know that we know who went to visit Paul up here? You're Paul. You're not Joe. We know who went to visit him. Do you know who went to visit him? Partners. If you'll read the last chapter of Philippians, you'll see a lot of names of people who went to see him. If you read the prison epistles at the last chapter, he talks about people who came to see him in prison. Guess who came to see him? Luke. Do you know what Luke did? He wrote the book of Luke and the book of Acts. So notice, listen to this. So Paul had a young physician named Luke, and they started talking. You know what they said? Hey, Paul, I'm going to write this chapter in the book of Acts, you know, about the guy getting healed by the gate, beautiful. What? Help me remember, what is it? Silver and gold have I none, but... And while they were talking about writing the book of Acts, Mr. War Soldier over here is listening to them talking about the book of Luke. Can you imagine being listening to that conversation? You know who else came to see him? Timothy. You know what Paul says in prison in 2 Timothy? Timothy, I want you to stir up the gift of God that you received when I laid hands on you and prayed for you. Do you see what that guy was watching over there? A young evangelist comes and says, hey, brother, I heard you were here and I want to come see you. And Paul Joe here, Joe Paul, says, well, I want you to receive the Holy Ghost, and laid hands on him. And the fire of the Spirit started burning in young Timothy, and he's over here receiving his prayer language. And this guard is over there going, I have seen a lot of stuff in battles all over the world, but I've never seen a young man weeping and praising God and speaking in language like that. I mean, Christian partner after Christian, I can name them all night, partners that came in here and talked to them. But notice there was one guy that we know came in who wasn't even saved. We find out about him in Philemon 1 and 10. He was unsaved, but he came to visit Paul. He was a runaway slave. And look what it says. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while I was in prison. Do you know what that means? That means when he was under house arrest, that runaway slave came to talk to Paul and got born again right there in the company of Brutus watching all that. But notice what happened. We're teaching the word here. What happens to this slave who formerly was useless? Have you ever felt useless? Do you know anybody that feels useless? They need to partner up. He used to be useless, but is now useful both to you and to me, and I have sent him back to you in person, and by doing that, I'm sending you my heart. I want you to catch this. When you partner with someone in the gospel, there's a transference of heart that takes place. You get their heart, they get your heart, and as you partner together for the gospel, wherever they go, they're taking you, and wherever you go, you're taking them, hallelujah, because you have partnered and there's been a heart transplant between the two of you for the glory and the praise of the Lord. Now listen what happens here. These partners are here. And I want you, who's your gospel partner? I have a gospel partner. He's my buddy. He was a drug addict. He got saved. He started detailing cars at Red River Dodge. In Heber Springs, they made him the number one, and they made him gave him a chance to sell cars. He sold more cars than anybody there. They made him the general manager. If you ever went down to Heber to look at trucks, Dodge trucks, you probably met Joey Goshen, seen him on TV. He moved to Birmingham and bought a dealership there full of the Holy. He's my gospel partner. Who's your gospel partner? Because this is what happens with gospel partners. The gospel partners comes over here, and Brutus is over there. Remember who he is? He's the people close to you but far from God. And here's how you lead people the Lord without putting pressure on yourself. Your gospel partner says, hey, Brutus, has my buddy ever told you his story about Damascus, what happened to him in Damascus? Has he ever told you his story? He didn't say, now let me lead you in salvation and let me give you a testimony. No, here's all you got to say. Has he ever told you his story? You find someone, hear me, because there's souls that we're going to pull out of hell with this. You get someone close to you, far from God, get your gospel partner in the room with them, and you ask your partner to share their story, and they share their story, and he hears the gospel of Jesus, and it is so natural. Hey, would you just, hey, have you heard, hey, scoot on over here, Brutus, come over here, man, just join our circle a little bit, just come on over. Okay, I want you to tell him, you've been locked up with him for 18 months, you know, and tell him your Damascus Road story.
I was walking, and this bright light came, and it blinded me, and I heard a voice from the light. He said he was Jesus, and I was blinded until another guy came and prayed for me and healed my eyes. Now I can see. I was on my way to persecute Christians. Changed my life.
Wow, can you believe that? Hey, Brutus, this guy's got more stories. You ought to hear all of them. And then you know what? You tell me to tell my story. I was going on a golf trip with my gospel buddy. Do you ever go deer hunting with your gospel buddy? You got to start deer hunting with your gospel buddy, but you got to take someone that's close to you and far from God. I want you to stop right now, and I want the spirit of prophecy to come on me, and I want you to pay attention to how many times in the Bible Jesus sent them out in twos. In the 70, Jesus sent them out two by two. All right, I can go through so many pairs. Did you know there were two angels at the tomb talking to Mary, say he's not here, he's risen, two witnesses? You know when Jesus went up, there was two angels, two messengers, two angels? Paul and Silas, Paul and Barnabas, Barnabas and Silas, John Mark. God sends you out in twos. So here's what's going on. They're in these twos, and that's how the gospel is shared. We're on this golf trip. I got one guy that is a Christian that's a guest, and I got another guy, I don't know him, he's just a neighborhood friend. We're going on this golf trip, and I got my gospel buddy, and I want to share the Lord with this guy, but it's my first time to spend any time with Brutus. And we're going down the road, and I just say, Joey, you mind telling your story about where you've come from? And it was so easy. And Joey, my gospel buddy, by my invitation, started sharing with that new buddy of mine the gospel of Jesus, and the Holy Ghost filled that car. It was gospel moment. Notice what happens after we do this. Well, that final point is this. There's got to be empowered conductivity through this chain. Listen to what Paul says. Paul says, I don't want to say something that's not in the Bible. Don't y'all think that if these guys were hooked up to Paul for 2 years, eventually they say, you don't have to wear the chain now. You're good. We're good. You're not going anywhere. Good. So I'm not going to say every day they had to be chained. But I'll tell you, if you look up the word chained in the New Testament, Paul writes the book of Colossians, and he says, I have written this book in my own hand. And as he's looking at his hand, he writes the next line, remember me in my chains. But so there may be a time when he said, you don't have to wear this chain. But what we have to do is make sure that the power of the Lord goes through those lines of connection. You need to find somebody lost and find a gospel buddy, and y'all get three,
the three of y'all together and do things y'all all three love to do, and then you ask your gospel buddy to tell your story. No pressure on you, and your friend is hearing the gospel. Jesus sent them out by two because he said, in the mouth of every two people, let every truth be established as a proper witness. And when you're saying Jesus is Lord and your gospel buddy is saying Jesus is Lord, those people that are close to you but far of God have got to pay attention about what God has done in your life. So I close with this. I want you to watch this. I want you to watch this. So this is what happened. So Brutus has been hanging around all these partners, hearing these stories. Can you imagine the atmosphere? Well, it's shift work. So he gets to go home. So he goes home. Come on, Marcus. Now Marcus, he's a Praetorian guard now too. He's on the next shift. And guess what? More partners come, and Paul's got a new buddy that is close to him but far of God. And it starts all over again. The stories, the partners, the prayers, the camaraderie, the joy, the victory. The gospel of Jesus. But guess what happens? So, hang on, Dave. Brutus, come back up here. And Brutus goes home. Come here. And when he gets home, like all of us when we get home, this is how the gospel was spread. What does she say when we get home from work? She says, how was your day? How did your job go? And you know what he says? You would not believe the conversations, the stories I've heard, what I saw, what they told me. I met a guy that was going to go, I'm taking care of a guy that was murdering Christians, and as he was going to murder them, he got knocked down to the ground, and a light shone, and it was Jesus. And I've heard about this Jesus because I was in Syria fighting with another Roman soldier down at Jerusalem whose job was to protect the crucifixion of Jesus. And he's a stone-cold killer, honey. I know who he is. I've worked with him. I've killed people with him. He was in charge of putting the seal on the tomb down there in Jerusalem and making sure Jesus is dead. I know him. And if he had an assignment to make sure that man was dead before they put him in that tomb, I guarantee you that man was dead. He was dead. But you know what, honey? I believe that this is true, that man really did meet someone that's rose from the dead, and all this talk we've been hearing around town about Jesus being risen from the grave, I believe it's true, and I want to go back to work. So I'm going to go back to work. I know I don't have to, but he goes back to work and says, look, I want to go a second shift here because I'm enjoying this guy so much over here. Would you come on? I'm ready to get a little closer. Scoot a little closer. Is there anything more you can tell me about the goodness of God? I believe that Jesus is Lord and that tomb is empty. And the gospel started spreading because guys couldn't hardly wait to get back to work so they could be close to someone that was close to them and close to God. Come on, somebody. Get excited in this room right now. But let me tell you how the gospel spread. So his wife and his sweetheart, after hanging around with her husband, you know what she does. Okay, come on. Come on. Come to town. Come on, you said it. And you went to town too. Yeah. And y'all are out there shopping for vegetables. Y'all, come on, you come to town. Come on, Debbie, you come on up here too. Tina, you come on up here too. Come on, hurry up. So turn around where everybody. So y'all are out here shopping for vegetables, and you girls are just enjoying everything. Oh, I like what you have on. Where'd you get that? And all this kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden you say, honey, sweetheart, y'all would not believe it. My husband has been chained to this man named Paul all night and all day for weeks. And I want to tell you,
I believe that there's a change coming over my husband. He's talking about spiritual things. He's talking about eternal things. He's talking about Jesus as Lord, and I believe that the tomb is empty. And she told her little girlfriends, and their little girlfriends began to talk among each other. And you know what they did? They went back to their family, and they went back to their family, and they went back to their family, and they began to share the goodness of the Lord. Talk. Turn to your neighbor and say, talk. They just start talk. And as they began to talk, the good news of Jesus went from market to market to household. Why? Because there was a GPS system that Paul thought was a pain, but it was a direct line, hallelujah, to Caesar's emperor's palace. And I'm here to tell you, Paul says this, as a result of me having chains, it has become clear to people all over the Roman guard why I'm in chains for the cause of Christ. And it's causing everybody to know the Lord to get bold and on fire and speak the gospel bolder and clearer than they've ever preached it before. So I want to ask you, who's your gospel partner? And who are the people that are close to you but far from God? You don't have to worry about preaching it then. Just get your partner in a room with them and say, hey, partner, tell your story. You got a great story. Stand with me. You've got a great story. Your story. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God. Come here, guys. Bring that chain right here. Stretch it on this altar and just kind of drape it right down all this whole line. That end? Yeah, and you just put it off the end. You can take it off. Paul was going to China, India, but he heard someone in a vision say, somebody save me. I'm so disappointed in myself. I'm so disappointed in my family. I am so trash in my body. I so want to be free. Somebody save me. And Paul turned from India and China and went to Europe. And you know what he found? He found there's a little demonized teenager that I'm going to love on. I'm going to get that demon out of her by loving on her and using the name of Jesus. Hey, man, don't kill yourself, buddy. Look, just because we're breaking out of jail, he'll by the power of God. Do yourself no harm. And the jailer's entire household was saved after hanging around Paul. Man, that excites me. But when he met that rich girl, he didn't back down because he had riches in his heart that that lady of purple didn't have. He had the treasure of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I want to just ask you right now, if you're here because you're close to somebody in this place, maybe they invited you, but you're far from God, you're not close to God, I want to tell you, there's stories in this room of God's grace and mercy that's so wonderful. If you're here right now, I'm not even going to ask anybody to close your eyes or bow your head. But if you're here and you said, I'm not close enough to God as I want to be. I want to be closer to God. I'm not close to Him now. I want to be closer. I want you to raise your hand right now. Man, that's so cool. So cool. You can be closer to God. That's what this whole church, this whole youth group is about. And I just want all of y'all to love every young person that comes. This church is powerful, y'all. I want to tell you, this isn't just some little church that nobody knows about. Satan hates this church because we love the youth of this county. Amen? We've got something to offer them. But I want to ask every one of you that want to get closer to God, I want you to humble yourself. I want you to come kneel at this old-fashioned altar, and I want you to get a hold of that chain, and I want to pray with you. If you want to get closer to God, I want you to come put your hands on this chain. Just come down here and kneel, and I want you to put your hand on that chain. All you young people, everybody, you just want to get, just come and kneel on one side or the other and just grab a hold of that chain right there. think there's enough link for everybody? Spread it out there, David. Help them spread that. Just come kneel. That's all right. You can just get on this side, too. Just get on this side. Just get on this side over here. You can get on this side over here. See if we can get over here. Man, this is awesome. Come on, guys. Hallelujah. Isn't this awesome? Hey, let's just think about this. What's our options? Have friends that act like they really love us, but we know how deep their love for us is. Or do we give our life to Christ and build friends that have the same struggles we have and the same mental stuff that we have and the same pain, but we're making Jesus our rock and He's going to be our fortress and He's going to be our source of forgiveness. And we get a story, every one of you. You've got a story ahead of you that's so incredible. It's so incredible, and you can't even believe how great God's story is. I remember the night I went down when I was 15 years old, and I kind of got a hold of the chain, man. I just said, I want to be a Jesus follower. And I didn't know God's story for me. But I want all of y'all on bended knee. I want y'all to look at me, and I promise you, I'm telling you the truth. I'm not lying. I promise you, life hadn't been perfect for me, and I've had pains too. But if I had 100,000 lives to live over and over again, I would live every one of them all out for Jesus. I'm going to say that again. If I had 1,000,000 lives to live over, 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 after what I've experienced and His hand on my life and His goodness and what He's done for me, I'd live every one sold out for Jesus. Because everything He does in us makes us whole and healthy, strong and forgiven. I want everyone in this room right now that y'all want your influence to touch others for Christ. Just come and stand around us. We're going to have a prayer meeting right now. Don't just stand and just begin to sing this song. Just begin. Is there someone at the keyboard? Stephanie, you up there? That's just music, baby. That's great. That's fine. We're good. Let's pray this prayer. Let's just pray. This is what I want everybody standing up around them right now. This is what I want to ask all you prayer warriors saying. Listen to me, I'm going to give you some instructions. I want you to start from the moment you met Jesus, and I want you to out loud start telling your story as if you were in a room with someone far from God but close to you. I'm going to tell you, on the mark, get set, go. I want you to start telling your story. I want you to, how you met the Lord and what He's meant to you. You're testifying in front of all these kids. Okay, are you ready? When I was driving here for 6.5 hours yesterday, you know what I did? I started from my youth, and I just prayed all the way up here, God's blessings upon my life. I went through every stage of my life, and then the glory of God was all in my car. And I want you around to start telling your story, okay? I want all of us to start just talking. Just start telling your story out loud. Practice your story. I was 15. Go ahead right now. Start talking it, Don. Just tell your story. Everybody open your mouth. Start telling your story. I can't hear you. Start telling your story. Chris, lead. Somebody lead. Okay, behind us. Please lift your voices. I need your help, adults. Start testifying, telling your story. I was 50, just when you got saved. Okay, listen up, young people. Listen. Listen to this. Joe, a little louder. Tell your story. Chris, everybody. Listen to their stories. Forgiveness. It's love, new beginnings, a clean heart, God's hand on your life, miracles of provision, getting over their pain, getting over their hurt. Listen to them. Their stories are powerful. God's going to make your story powerful too. Now grab hold of the chain. I want you to pray with me. Pray after me, okay? You ready? Lord Jesus, I want my story to be the story You write for me. If I write my own story, I'm going to mess it up because I got all hell after me. I have anger issues. I get mad so quick. I hurt people I love. I'm confused about my future. And I'm stressed. But Jesus, you're the Prince of Peace. And I want peace. And I want my story 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 50 years from now, for eternity, to be your story in me. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. And let's have a relationship. I want to get closer to you. I want to get closer to you. I want to enjoy you. I want you to enjoy me. I want your will. I want your plan. I want your friends. And I want to lead my friends to you. Help me to have eyes for people close to me that are far from God. Help them to be close to you, close to me. I'm forgiven. I'm a Christ follower. I have a story. The Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you'll believe in your heart the Lord Jesus and confess with your mouth that he is Lord, you'll be saved. There's a part of just telling somebody, I want to follow Christ. And I want to stand up. Isn't this beautiful? Isn't this the most beautiful thing you've ever seen in your life? This is what I want you to do. I know you may be just getting started and this may be odd. Hang on with me. I got a call. I don't ever check Facebook Messenger, but I got a message from, is this Danny Duvall? From, yes. I am from Bentonville, Arkansas, and if you're ever in Bentonville, I want to see you. Now listen to this, because this is you. So I was in Bentonville last week, and I told him when I was going to be there, and so he came and met with me at 6:30 in the morning. He was 14 years old when I first met him. Anybody 14 here? You're 14? He's 14, and he says, you don't understand. I was the troubled kid in our school, and I was the problem, and I was like, nobody could stand me because I just had issues. And my hero was not basketball NBA players. It was guys that share the gospel with me. And he met with me, and he said, I was in Bentonville. I was 14 years old, and I asked if you'd come by and see me at Wendy's, and you came by. And you talked to me when I was 14. Now I'm 44. I'm in the ministry. I've got two beautiful kids, gorgeous wife. I'm a nurse, and I'm also on a ministry team. And my life is so good, and I wanted you to hear my story. I want to tell you, your story is going to be great as Jesus is Lord, but you need to start your story now. And I want you to get all the guts you can get, and I want you to turn around some part, or gospel part. You may not know them. Introduce yourself. Give them your name. Give them your name. I don't care how freaky it is. I want you to give them your name and saying, I'm starting my gospel story right now. Just go, I'm starting my story. Would you just go tell some. Go confess. Just go tell somebody. Confess with your mouth, Jesus. Just say, I want you to know I'm a Christ follower. Just go tell them I'm a Christ follower. Just go tell them. I want you to know I'm a Christ follower. I'm a Christ follower. I'm a Christ follower. I want to be a Christ follower. I want to be a Christ follower. I want to be a Christ follower. But I want to tell you something. So look at Don. Look at Don. What's his name? What's his name? Marshall and Don. Look at them talking. You know, you can be close to somebody in a different generation. You can be close to someone in a different age group. You can be close to someone that's different from you. Praise God. Well, I want to tell you something. You've got more influence in spreading the gospel than you've ever dreamed. And if Paul can be locked up by a Secret Service agent and put in the Bible, people from Caesar's house wants to say hello, then how far can God's love flow out of your life? If any of y'all want to talk to me on a personal level, I'm not going anywhere. I'm here for you. Maybe when I'm 90 years old, y'all call me and say, hey, I was 15 at, you know, and Solid Rock that night, and we had a great time in the Lord. But after I minister, you guys go over there, and I'm going to teach you the physics of catching a football, okay? Hey, Pastor, you need to say anything? Tomorrow night, I want you to come. It's going to be a unique message, but with AI right around the corner, we need to get in the Word and find out what it means just to be a basic human being, okay? Can we do that?
Amen. Be here tomorrow night. Be here tomorrow night. Invite your friends. Invite your enemies. Invite everybody. All right? Be here tomorrow night. Lord, I just thank you for these people. I thank you for what you're doing in their lives. And Lord, I pray that you watch over and protect them as they travel to their homes and bring them back here safely. Lord, in your name we pray. Amen. We'll see you tomorrow night at 7:00.